This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil, the boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740. Also broadcasting in downtown Toronto on 96.7 FM. I'm your host, Walter Rigavon. My usual co-host this morning, Naz Marchese, isn't with me this morning. Will we have him on the line very, very shortly? Hopefully he's on the line right now. I've been trying to get a hold of him. He's down at Wrigley Field down in Chicago this weekend, and we want to catch up with Naz, and hopefully we'll have him on the line shortly. We've been trying to connect with him. Subbing in for Naz this morning, former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Washington Capital, Lou Franceschetti. Welcome, Lou.
Good morning, Wally, and better looking.
And better looking. Thank you very much. I don't disagree with you. God bless you. Anyways, you. Naz, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Naz.
You didn't hear that, did you, Naz?
Yeah, I heard it.
Anyways, Naz, first of all, I want you to apologize for me sticking me with Franceschetti again this morning, but let's get right into it. You've made the pilgrimage down to Chicago. And it's been an interesting weekend for you. So we're going to ask you to recap, but two highlights of your weekend is, of course, going to watch the Blue Jays play against the Cubs at one of the museums of sports in the world, which is, of course, Wrigley Field. And you've made that pilgrimage. And my guess is you're down there with thousands and thousands of Jays fan, and of course you also had the privilege of watching TFC last night douse the Chicago Fire, and that was I actually watched that game, didn't watch the Jays game, but I watched that game, and that was a lot of fun from what I can tell. But first, Naz, give us a little bit of your perception of the amount of fun you've been having, and what's going on down in Chicago.
Great spot, great place, Wrigley Field. Friday's game was, must have been about 10,000 fans there on Friday, Blue Jay fans. An incredible amount of people down there. And historic park for sure. Just a beautiful, beautiful park.
What's your big takeaway from what was the most impressive thing you found about? Was it your first time at Wrigley Field?
It is my first time. It is my first time. Although I liked Fenway Park better, but it's just the stadium itself, the outside. It's what a beautiful spot Wrigley Field is. It really is.
I haven't watched a game from Wrigley. From Wrigley in a while. I guess other than the World Series last year. But do they still have that Ivy Field covering the wall?
Yes, they do. Yes, yeah. They do.
Yeah. And the amazing part about it, I actually was at Wrigley. I was in Chicago. I made the pilgrimage to Wrigley Field just to see it, but I didn't partake in a ball game there. When I was in Boston, I made the pilgrimage to Fenway, but didn't actually see a ball game there because the Sox were out of town. But the amazing part about Wrigley is it's like it's plopped, not plopped, but I guess everything got built around it. It's like right in the middle of a residential area.
It is. It is. And it's very, very unique downtown, very unique. A lot of people in one area, that's for sure. And I happened to take the bus system there. Oh, my God, what an experience that was. Getting on a bus with Cub fans and Blue Jay fans on the way down, it was quite an interesting trip, that's for sure.
Hey, Naz, just by watching the game yesterday and the times that I do watch the Cubs on TV, especially last year in the World Series against the Indians, I don't know where you were sitting last night, but I guess now the Cubs own the bleacher seats out in left field. How's that looking?
That looks great. That looks great. You should see all the rooftops and that. It's beautiful. There's people watching the game from rooftops in the stadium. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. The only thing is, when the first day we had the seats, I thought it was in the Hamilton Forum with the pillars in the way. Right? It was. you couldn't see clearly all the time, but yesterday's seats were great, and the Jays came up short. They were they played well, but they came up short. They just didn't get any clutch hitting at all.
Tell us a little bit about the interaction with between Cubs fans and Jays fans.
You know what? They're very different than the Boston fans. Boston fans are a little rougher around the edge. The Cubs fans are nice. You can't even get angry with them. They're nice people. All Chicago Cubs fans are really nice people.
I guess they must have liked the Grapes yesterday singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game."
He was great. He was great. He did well.
He did good. He did pretty good.
He did well. I was
impressed.
Yeah, he changed. He got a little bit of criticism, not from this side of the border, but from a lot of the U.S. Chicago people were tweeting that he actually changed the lyrics to "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." There's a lyric in the song where the fans are supposed to support the Cubbies. Yeah. And of course, I guess Don couldn't bring himself to say that with the Jays there, being a big Jays booster, and he just made it neutral. He didn't use the Jays, but he just made it neutral, and I guess that might have rubbed some of the locals the wrong way.
It was so quick. We never caught that when we heard it, but I was reading this morning that that's the case. Right. But
anyways. Jays, Nest, give us a recap of the two games. What happened? We lost both of them. We always Jays season. If I can do an executive summary on the Jays season so far, it's always one step forward, one step backwards.
That's about it.
Two
That's
steps forward, two and a half steps backwards. You know, we always get within sniffing distance, and this has been going on like for a couple of months now. We get in sniffing distance of the wild card, and we get everybody excited, and as you get all excited, and you keep posting, we're back up to three games from the wild card, and
another four, right?
And now, you know, we're back. Since the bats seem to have gotten a little bit hotter, but where are we right now?
Well, yesterday's game, they lost 4-3. Bautista, Donaldson, and who's the other guy?
Smoke.
Yeah, they went 0-for-12 at the plate, and that's not going to do it. The guys in the bottom of the order were hitting well. They were getting on base. Pierce had a good afternoon, but the big boys didn't do anything, and when the big boys don't do anything, nothing happens, right? And that's exactly what happened yesterday. The Cubs were beatable in Game 2. They outplayed the Jays in Game 1, though, pretty badly.
Who's on the mound for the Jays today?
Estrada's on the mound.
Estrada, okay. And
this type of park, though, if the wind's blowing in, it's a pitcher's park when it's blowing. When it's blowing out, look out.
Anyway, so Jays, I haven't looked that far ahead yet, Naz, and perhaps you or Lou have. What's the Jays' schedule look like from here to the finish line?
Well, this is a big week here because they have Tampa Bay away, and then they have Minnesota in, who's first in the wild card or second in the wild card race. So this is a big week. They got to be within two by the end of this week, or I think it's going to be a little difficult to come back.
There's still a lot of baseball to be played, Lou, and I know that you're a big Yankees fan. There's a big series going on between the Yankees and the Red Sox this weekend, and that seems where all the action's going to be in the American League East in terms of the run for first place and the number one wild card. But your key guy there has set a major league record a feat that hasn't happened in a while. Aaron Judge,
you're right.
36 games straight with a strikeout. I'm not sure if that's ever happened before, or apparently the last guy to go 35 games with a strikeout in every game. Listen to this one for the record books: Bill Stoneman. Of course, we all remember Bill Stoneman. He was
a pitcher for the Expos.
What happened to Judge?
You know what? It's just that he's overswinging. He's thinking too much. What happened at the first start of the year, he had a goal, and it's just like Kevin Pillar. you know, he had a goal at the start of the year, and he followed it and then got into a rut, and now he's down to his regular 250. But Aaron Judge, I'm not sure if it's the actual All-Star home run derby that screwed everything up. But it's more or less, I think pitchers right now are starting to figure him out. They know where to place the ball, and he's been a sucker to keep on going after it. You watched the pitcher last night. There was three strikes that they were out of the zone he swung at. It's just one of those things that hopefully, and thank God that Sanchez is picking and Hicks is picking him up right now, because if they're not, they're, you know, the Yankees are going to be in a little bit of a trouble here. They've got great starting pitching last night from Sabathia. He out the old Sale. Tonight they got Sonny Gray. The other night they had they don't even get Severino this year against or this weekend against Boston. So it's going to be a good battle down the stretch. I think whichever team does well within the division is going to be the team that is going to step ahead of everybody. And then you got to look at it. It's going to be a one game wild card, and the two teams that are behind the Yankees, the Angels and Kansas City, they're half a game apart. So there could be a second wild card game there to meet the Yankees. And, you know, that means that they're going to have their best pitcher in that game to get to the Yankees. So it's going to be interesting to see down the stretch here what's going
to
happen.
Just before I come back to you, Naz, I do want you to comment on that, just to give our listeners a little roadmap for the rest of the show. We'll be talking to the godfather of sports radio, Eddie Andelman, shortly after the first break. Of course, Eddie's from Boston, and we're going to talk all things Boston, and we're going to get into this Red Sox-Yankee rivalry. And later on in the show, we're going to be talking to Carmine Marcantonio, member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, talking about TFC and this great soccer tournament that's going on up in Vaughan this weekend, the Under-17 Youth Cup. We've got Juventus in town, their Under-17 team, and they're taking on TFC's Under-17 team tonight. Certainly want to chat about that. And that brings me to another topic, Naz. You're down in Chicago. Great game last night. Soccer. The Reds, TFC, gave the Chicago Fire a little spanking. Tell us a little bit about the atmosphere of that game, because it looked like there was a whole lot of TFC supporters decked out in red. And
Wally, I didn't get down there for the
game. Oh, you didn't make it?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm that. I did not get down there, but I did read up on it, and they won 3-1 from what I understand, and played well. And also, the big boys didn't carry the team. It was their lesser lights, and that's good.
Yeah, it's, sorry it didn't make the game, Naz. There was a point in that game where Jovenko scored and he ran over to the crowd and some guy ran down and took his shirt off. I thought that might have been you for a second.
Yeah, no chance.
Anyways, going back to Red Sox-Yankees, then we'll wrap it up with you, Naz. Your assessment of this battle and where that's going to go down the stretch.
Well, you know, it's going to be tough for the wild card. Luke pointed out a couple of weeks ago about, if the Jays got in and they had to play one game against somebody and they had Stroman on the mound, they'd be in deep trouble, the other team, right? And that could happen. It's a one-game thing. And I don't know who's going to meet Boston. It's going to be a interesting series when the last series of the season. It's going to be very interesting for sure.
Do Red Sox Yankees got something coming up? Another series?
They got four more coming up next weekend.
Next weekend,
yeah, in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
I'm not even looking at who makes a wild card. You got to remember that with Houston having the best record right now, the team that comes out of the wild card is going to play Houston in the first round of the playoffs, going up against that juggernaut offense. It looks like Cleveland and Boston. If Boston ends up in first place, they're going to probably be meeting each other in the first round, and they got four games coming up in Cleveland starting tomorrow. So that's going to be an interesting series to see who's going to take momentum and who's going to set the tempo for that series.
How do you like the Dodgers taking Granderson now? How much money do these guys have? What's going on? I mean, Cleveland's adding players. Everybody's adding players.
Well, what they're doing is they're sending players down. They sent out one of their top prospects, Doc Peterson, down to the minors the other day to make room for Granderson. And what they've done is they've gotten two imaginary lineups, one against right-handed batters and one against left-handed batters. And Granderson right now fits into that left-hand, going up against the right-handed batters. So they've got two different lineups. I know they got Ethan is still hurt. So really, they don't care, because right now they're going for it all. It's just like the Jays did two seasons ago. They put all their eggs in one basket. Their window of opportunity is closing. They want to win it this year with the record they have. And that's why the people in Houston right now are a little upset at the owner or the GM, because they didn't go out and get a Verlander to offset what everybody else has done.
Yeah, and the Indians have added, too. Like, they added Jay Bruce, right? And they are looking stronger, too.
That's right. So when you give your players a chance, or you're going to show them a chance that you're all in, the players, they pick up that. It's just like the Yankees when they made the deal for Gray and Todd Frazier. Frazier hit a big home run last night. Todd Gray goes into Boston today, but he's got an ERA over 8 in Boston. Well, so we're going to see how the team is going to pick him up today.
Naz, sorry to change topics, guys, but we got to let Naz go. But before we let you go, Naz, we do have to get your comments, because you're usually on the pulse of these types of things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call them rumors, but there's reports starting to circulate. I've seen them on the web this morning and in Twitter and some.
Is this about Tavares?
Tavares, yes.
I read you pretty good. I didn't even talk to you about that.
Yeah, Tavares. The talk is heating up from some reputable people that there may be a 1-year deal in Toronto. Naz, you usually have your pulse on these things. I don't know if you're the guy who even started this, but
no, I didn't start this one.
You're usually ahead of the curve on a lot of things. What's your sense of that one?
Well, I think that Tavares wouldn't be smart for him to do that, because, you know, in a year he could get hurt. He's got a big contract coming up. Why would he risk, you know, 6 or 7 more years on his contract for 1 year with the Leafs? I'm not sure that adds up.
Lou?
Hey, listen, it all depends on what they're going to ask him, what he's asking for. The problem is now, if he comes in here in 2018, Marner and Nylander's contracts are going to be in full flight there. How are you going to handle 4 guys that are making close to $8 million, along with Marlowe and what Morgan Riley is making on the back end?
Yeah, I think the idea was to extend them have a 1-year contract, and those other contracts don't kick in until the following year, so they can afford them for 1 year. I think that was the intent of that, but I don't see it. I really don't.
Naz, I think you hit the nail on the head. Why would a player in the prime of his career sign a 1-year contract and take that risk of injury? I think you've analyzed that perfectly.
How about Kevin Durant?
On the Tavares thing, I just think it's the middle of summer. A bunch of guys got nothing to do, and let's churn up a rumor just to, you know, so people can talk about it. There's nothing else to talk about at this time of year.
You know, that's another case, but I don't see Tavares doing it. But you never know. I mean.
Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Naz, listen, we've got to go to break.
Okay.
We're going to let you go. Enjoy the rest of your time in Chicago, and travel safely, my friend. Want to see you?
Just one thing. They
yes,
got to bring back Frank Vitier's pizza. The deep dish pizza is great here.
Well, I got to tell you, well, it's the home of the world capital of deep dish pizza. Frank Vitier, talk about a name from the past.
Isn't that something?
Jane and Wilson. Wasn't it Jane and Wilson, Naz?
Yeah, it was Jane and Wilson. Yeah. And there was one right near Maple Leaf Gardens.
It was Frank Vitier pizza there and Fuller's and all the other stuff we used to go at late nights. Anyways, thanks, Naz.
Okay,
and
no problem.
Travel safely. All the best. Frank Vitier's pizza. I haven't heard about that one in a long time.
It's almost like
Lou?
Vesuvius. Vesuvius.
Well, Naz comes up with this stuff. Anyways, we've got to go to break. We'll be right back after the break talking Boston, Toronto with Eddie Andelman, the godfather of sports radio.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville brought back the large 5-topping pizza special for just $13.99 for a limited time. I'm whispering because the last time Pizzaville brought back this special, there was pandemonium in the streets, pushing, shoving, biting. So order now and order often, and hopefully you won't have any bite marks when this is over. Call Pizzaville for the large 5-topping pizza special at £3636 from your cell phone. Shh.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigobon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Steel's Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steel's Paint, 4190 Steel's Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the godfather of sports radio. Of course, we're talking about the iconic and irreverent Eddie Andelman, formerly of the Sports Huddle, where I grew up listening to Eddie on the Sports Huddle, one of the great, if not the greatest, sports talk radio show in history. Eddie, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good. How you fellas doing?
We're doing fantastic. We're trying to keep this Toronto-Boston rivalry alive, but there's a bigger rivalry going on this weekend. Just so that you know, Eddie, in studio with me, co-hosting this morning is Lou Franceschetti. You know, of course, you being the big hockey fan that you are, you remember Lou's great career with the Washington Capitals and the Toronto Maple Leafs. But
how could I ever forget?
but he's a New York Yankee fan. And so tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Sox. They seem to have created a little bit of distance with the Yankees, and they look like they're heading for first in the AL East. Anything that the Yankees are going to do that's going to stop that?
Well, I really figured that the Red Sox would win the East. The only team I was afraid of was the Blue Jays. But the Blue Jays need badly more coaches and better front office people than what I've seen so far. They're not playing up to their talent. As far as the Yankees go, as usual, they're overrated by the media. Next year, they'll probably send Judge down for more experience. Chapman has been a huge disappointment. And other than having a good field manager in Joe Girardi, the Yankees are a creation of the media and will be very lucky to finish at 500.
That's an interesting observation. Eddie, Lou, you want to fire back on that one?
Well, Eddie, I'm not going to go against your experience because you've been doing it so many years. But what I see right now, and I think the Yankees are lucky to be only four games back, because if it wasn't for Rafael Devers, they might only be two behind. Because right now, I saw the last series against Boston, and if it wasn't for him, I think the Yankees would have probably won three of four or two or three the first series, and they would have taken the first two games here. You're absolutely right about Judge. I think Judge is not overrated, but I think he's more or less he's overdoing things. He's thinking too much when he's up at the plate. He had a great first half, and from my perspective, is that if it wasn't for Sale and Benintendi, I think the Boston Red Sox right now would probably be in the middle of the pack.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. If it didn't rain at my mother and father's picnic, I wouldn't be here.
you're right.
But, you know, so far you've made typical excuses of a Yankee and New York fan. You know, I mean, these things, they're available, you know, in a pamphlet. You can buy a pamphlet called New York Excuses, and it justify all the teams, the Mets, the Yankees, the Knicks. I mean, they're an embarrassment.
Oh, so you're saying that just because I'm a Yankee fan, I'm wrong?
Yes,
that's usually the way. Boston.
Like I said, I'm not going to argue with you because you've had a lot more experience. And it's your typical Boston mentality out there. It's everything else but Boston.
I have two grandsons, 10 years old. They have lived to see every Boston team win a world championship.
Well, I will agree with you there, Eddie. You've certainly in Boston, you've been privileged with some tremendous, tremendous athletes and some tremendous teams. And going to, you know, take it in a little different direction. We're trying to create a little bit of Boston-Toronto rivalry, and I want to get your comment on this, Eddie, because I know. You've always you've got something interesting to say, but I it looks like Toronto may have the upper hand in the Toronto Boston rivalry. Let me make the case, Eddie. Right now, let me make the case. The Leafs are better than the Bruins. The Raptors, and the Celtics, I would classify as a saw-off. The Red Sox are up against ahead of the Jays, so we're 1-1-1. But here's the clincher, Eddie. Our soccer team's better than the Revolution. So it's Toronto's got the upper hand right now. Comment, Eddie.
Well, first of all, the only game that is allowed in the intensive care ward of any hospital is soccer. I mean, have you ever met anyone that's actually ever seen a goal?
Actually, we saw a few last night, to be honest with you, Eddie. But I take it you're not a big Revolution fan?
No, I don't like soccer being shoved down my throat. It's a foreign game, and I'm glad that all the people in Brazil love it. But to me, it's just dull.
That's what I would have thought you would have said about soccer. But going back to the Red Sox, the David Price experiment. We tend to follow. We tend to have an interest in Toronto about what's going on with David Price in Boston.
Well, he doesn't want to be here. Obviously, he doesn't like Boston. And I say good riddance to him.
But when you say he doesn't like Boston, so why did, is it just, he just came for the money and that's it, nothing else?
Of course, he's a Hessian. He's a highly paid Hessian. He doesn't like it here. You know, one thing about Boston, we demand our athletes try as hard as they can. You know, if they really try hard, get their uniforms dirty, we applaud them even if they lose. But this guy has come in like royalty, and you know, he is aloof to the city itself. He takes no part in any of our activities, and he knows nothing about our government, and he knows nothing about our area. And I say good riddance. Eat the loss and get rid of him, because he's a cancer.
Eddie, I think that's the only thing that we agree on today. Especially when you're taking $217 million with Boston, where he could have had $180 million with St. Louis. The unfortunate thing is that David Price has always been aloof, as you put it. You look at him when he pitched in Tampa. It was a great place for him because nobody knew who he was. When he came here, he jumped on the bandwagon like everybody else did, and he had a great start. But what it comes down to at the end of the day is if you don't get your lunch pail and go to work every single day, people will not respect you as what you are. People will look at the dollars and cents you make, and that's pretty much it. And unfortunately for David Price, that's exactly what he's going to be. He's got all the money in the world, but he's got no heart.
That's well said.
David Price had a scrap or disagreement with Dennis Eckersley, who's fairly beloved, and I know you have you got kind words about Eckersley. Tell us what that was all about and if that's settled down.
Well, in Boston, unlike most cities, you know, the media is not part of the team. And although Dennis, incidentally, he's a Hall of Famer, and Dennis is not originally from Boston, but chose to live here, which is an entirely different story than David Price. But he's been somewhat critical. I wouldn't say it was really tough stuff. But in order to show off to his teammates on the plane, he went after Dennis, who's now 62 years old. And he thought everybody, the fans, would love it. But just the opposite has happened. They thought, in a sense, he was bullying Eckersley. And, you know, Dennis is a terrific guy, as I said, a Hall of Famer. And he wasn't that critical of Price. I mean, surely I've been 100 times more critical than Dennis, but the fans are the jury, and I don't know anyone who's taken the part of David Price, and now I think some of the players themselves sort of feel bad about it. You know, they look up to Dennis. David Price is never going to be in the Hall of Fame, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, Eddie. We're talking to Eddie Andelman, of course, the iconic godfather of sports radio. And Eddie, you, as usual, you've been tweeting up a storm. And one interesting tweet, you're calling St. Louis and Boston the best baseball cities. Tell us why.
Well, because they eat, drink, and talk baseball 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And if the teams are bad, they still draw. And they're very knowledgeable, too, extremely knowledgeable. I mean, the average person in St. Louis and Boston can go through the history of baseball even when they're 20 years old. The Boston fans especially, and I don't like to use the word Boston, but it really is a New England franchise. And it's the biggest dump in history. I mean, it's the most uncomfortable place in the world. Built in 1912 and has never been renovated other than to add some beer stains. The restrooms have the last strains of bubonic plague left in the world. It's just a terrible place. I can't even fit into a chair, and I'm not even 200 pounds. And you know, when the giant redwood trees, when they wanted to figure the age, what they do is they see the layers of wood, and they can judge the age. In Fenway Park, it's the gunk in the concourses. They can dig into it, and they can find out how old it is.
Eddie, I want to take you. Yeah, sorry, finish your point.
The prices, actually, in toto, are the highest in baseball.
And we're talking, of course, about the Fenway Park. Eddie, you know, you're known, obviously, for your irreverency and your sense of humor, and you recently wrote that the three best sports rivalries ever, Red Sox-Yankees, can't disagree with that, Texas-Oklahoma, yeah, we could have a debate about that one, but how did you come up with the third one, the Boston Bruins and Calgary? tell us, Eddie, come on.
Well, come on,
you've developed a sudden fixation with Calgary. What's going on?
Because there's no way to get to Calgary from Boston.
there probably is. Just hop on a plane.
No, there isn't. Once you go to Calgary, you have to stay there the rest of your life. But I offered a new card to anybody who could name three players on Calgary's second line.
We probably could if we contemplated it long enough. But
I mean, some of the places in the National.
But of all places, I just want to know how the Eddie Andelman mind works. You come up with the greatest rivalry, Boston and Calgary.
Well, I thought it was sort of making fun of the league.
Oh yeah,
I mean, they look at another expansion team in Las Vegas.
Oh, well, you know, they're
so stupid they didn't even name it what they should have named the team, which was the Jackpots.
That was my name, Eddie. You stole my name. I came up with that one. They should have called it the Jackpots. But what? All kidding aside, let's get serious about that because you brought it up. What do you feel about the NHL in Las Vegas?
Well, it'll be extremely successful, although no one will ever go to the games because there's 1,100 licenses issued for gambling, and all those people will have to take luxury boxes. And so that's where you really make your money in sports. And I would venture to say that they'll set record prices for income. But, you know, it's very tough to compete. You know, they've had three different racetracks and a highlight parlor in Las Vegas. All of them went out within three months. And so there's not enough action, particularly in soccer and hockey. There's not enough scoring to keep their interest. You know, if they can play blackjack and have a hand every 20 seconds or pull a slot machine every 2 seconds. So I think in some senses it'll be good because the players themselves, when they go on road trips to Las Vegas, I mean, the hockey players, some of them are smart enough to even understand how to operate a slot machine.
Eddie, we've got a couple of minutes left, and I want to finish it off talking about the Patriots and Tom Brady. Give us an assessment of the Patriots where they're going this year? Of course, the Patriots always have the advantage of playing in the weakest division in football, which right. gives them one hell of a boost. But you also tweeted lately that Tom Brady is a target. That's what you said. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that if you can knock Brady out, you're going to win the game, and it's worth a 15-yard penalty for roughness, unnecessary roughness. And so I do think he is a target. Plus his age, you know, as you get older, you don't heal as fast or as quickly. And so in my opinion, I think that part of the game plan is going to be, see if you can pile on Brady. And that's what I mean by that.
Go ahead, Lou.
Eddie, is Tom Brady well-liked? You put the word target, and I know in athleticism, target is mean you'll go all out to more or less try to put him out of the game, and if it happens, then you're going to put him out for the season. Is he well-liked in the circle of football?
Well, I would say he's in the New England area, he has almost reached the point of Ted Williams. He's without question the number one athlete here of all time, subject to Ted Williams being the exception. His accomplishments are legendary. I wish he'd quit myself, even though I'm a Patriot fan, because a couple of years ago I saw Dick Butkus at an airport pushing his own wheelchair so he could get a little exercise. There's no question football has become just a violent sport. I don't know what the future is, but I don't think it's very bright. I had one son who was an extremely good athlete, and I wouldn't let him play football in high school, and the townies turned on me. I mean, it was like unbelievable. But it's a dangerous sport.
Sure is. Eddie Andelman, we'll leave it off at this. Hockey this year. Last year, you called for the Toronto Maple Leafs to make the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's right.
And they didn't make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, but they had a great year and they impressed a lot of people. Tell us, where do you think this Leafs this year, assessment there, and Leafs-Bruins rivalry?
Well, I think it all comes down to teams willing to spend the money for the best skate sharpeners. So they can glide to and fro, back and forth, up and down, go to the left. I know nothing about hockey, and I don't want to know anything about hockey.
Oh, you know a lot about hockey, Eddie.
I know a little bit.
Yeah,
but I liked it
more than you're letting on, my friend.
When there were six teams, it was a great sport. Olympic hockey is a great sport. What they do today, almost every goal goes off someone's behind. I don't follow it.
Well, certainly reasonable hockey fans can certainly debate, and the debate goes on all the time about comparing today's hockey.
I'm going to be going up to Canada very shortly, as soon as the Canadian dollar weakens a bit more.
Well, if you come up to the Toronto area, Eddie, please give us a call. We'd love to have you.
I stay at the Four Seasons. The minute it becomes less than $200 a night, that's when we go to Canada.
Well, you might be waiting a long time, my friend. Anyways, and hopefully we catch up again down south as well. I look forward to that.
Thank you, guys.
Eddie, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure having you. Eddie Andelman. Always a lot of fun with Eddie, Lou.
Hey, you know what? He's quite the remarkable, sarcastic, you know what?
Well, that's what made him, you probably don't remember, but when he had the Sports Huddle show in the 70s, when sports talk radio was just taking off, it became its own genre. I mean, his show on Boston radio on Sunday nights was just out of the—I mean, he'd have 50,000 people call in. They used to blow up. You know, they have switchboards. They used to blow up the telephone lines when he was on the air with him and he had two partners at the time. I remember one guy's name was Mark Witkin, and the other gentleman's name escapes me at this time. But it was one hell of a show.
Well, you can really see it. It's the Boston Red Sox and everybody else.
And the one point that he does make that he's irreverent and he's funny and sarcastic or satirical, whatever you want to say. And he's always got his, you know, he's a pretty serious guy, pretty intelligent guy. He just likes to have fun. But the one point he does, Boston fans
are passionate.
Are passionate. Yes. You know, they are a breed apart. They really are.
They definitely are. I happen to catch a Boston Red Sox game at Fenway Park against the Washington Nationals about 4 or 5 years ago. And the place was packed. They had a pretty good team that year. Then a couple of years later, they weren't very good when they drafted Benintendi. But they are passionate. They're almost like the Leaf fans. There's nothing else but the Boston Red Sox, just like the Leaf fans. This is not a hockey city. This is a Leaf city. And great for the Red Sox. I remember 2007 watching that the third or fourth game when Ortiz singled in Dave Roberts from second base. It turned the whole series around. And you got to give them credit.
Absolutely.
They played well. And it's going to be a dogfight right till the end this year with the Red Sox and the Yankees. And we'll see what happens tonight. And then we'll see what happens next weekend with four games at Yankee Stadium.
I have to cut you off there, Lou. Anyways, it's time for our break. And we'll be right back after the break with Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Carmine Marcantonio.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville realised that people may not know how many different kinds of ponzos Pizzaville makes. You can go Italian if you like a sausage. You can go Hawaiian if you like ham and pineapple. And you can go Canadian if you like bacon, beer and hockey. We can build a ponzo that speaks your language, no matter where you are from. Call Pizzaville at 736-3636. Or visit pizzaville.ca.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive. We'll likely save you money too. But the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. We're pleased to welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Carmine Marcantonio. Good morning, Carmine.
Hey, Walter, good morning to you. And I'm in the bus drive with the Juventus under 17 team.
Oh, so
sorry about the noise.
Oh, yes. No problem. And I'd love to be there with you. Anyways, we're going to chat about that. I just want you to know there's a former friend of yours in studio with me this morning who says he knows some Carmine and Marcantonio stories. That's a former Toronto Maple Leaf and Washington Capitol, Lou Franceschetti, is joining me this morning.
Yeah, hi, Lou. I was listening in, so I knew that Lou was your guest today, so this morning. So I'm happy to say hi to him.
Carmen, buongiorno.
Ciao, Lou. Buongiorno a te.
Scusa. Listen, Wally and I were talking about here, especially after the last time we were on the radio, a couple of guys that we both played with, Enzo Di Piedi and the Schiraldi brothers. Do you remember them?
Oh, for sure. Of course, they were, you know, they were a bit younger than me, but they were, you know, good talent at the time. And, Lou, I knew of you more as a hockey player than a footballer, but that's okay. You go the other way where you
where you can make some money. I don't blame you.
I don't think Lou was much of a soccer player, but he begged to differ. And talking about the Schiraldi brothers, I also played with one of the Schiraldis, George, who ended up
playing in Kansas City.
Ended up playing in Kansas City. I played 1 year with him on a team called Westwood Olympic.
Gino
Schiraldi. Yeah, Gino. Anyways, Kadmina, the reason we got you on the show today is there's a big event happening. It's the International Youth Soccer Cup Under 17. And the Pride of Italy is over here. That's the Under 17 Juventus team. And I understand they won their first game, and the final of the tournament is tonight. So tell us all about that.
Yeah, it's actually, if you like, there is Bettega, Roberto Bettega, the famed Bettega from Juventus, and at the time it was the Blizzard. He's with us, and it started from Roberto Bettega's idea to have, his two loves are for the Blizzard, Toronto, and Torino, the great Juventus. So because of Bettega, we basically started this tournament, and it just turned out to be a great event and some very good talent, both on the TFC side and obviously the Juventus side. I mean, these are the best kids from Italy and from all over the world, because we have some Romanian and some from Africa. A couple of kids are from Africa, and we also have somebody, a refugee from Syria, that is part of the Juventus team. So, they pick from the best. And but I tell you, TFC has a very good team. And the team that surprised me was Woodbridge, because it was a tremendous game, the Juventus against Woodbridge on Friday. It was a 4-3 game. It was very thrilling, and very Woodbridge had some very good talent, too. So people that love soccer, I like to call it, as you know, Walter, football, the final is at 8 o'clock tonight at the Soccer Center, the home of TFC, and in Vaughan, the home of TFC 2. And it's TFC versus Juventus, 8 o'clock.
Anyways, Carmen, we want to talk a little bit about the team that Juventus brought over here. It's their under-17 team. Tell us a little bit about how minor football in Europe, like a team like Juventus, at what age do they? How does the youth development program for a team like Juventus compare to, let's say, youth development programs for hockey in Canada? How early do they identify players there? And what? Give us an idea on this under 17 team. How many of these players might possibly play professional somewhere down the road, or even, for example, perhaps even make the Italian national team?
Yeah, that's a good question, Walter. I was talking to the coaching staff here in the management. Well, basically what they do, a bit what TFC is trying to do with their academy, they try to get the best players at any age group from age probably 9 and 10 to play into their academy. Most of these kids come from Torino and vicinity. So they basically, after school, they get bus for practice, so they pretty well practice every day. That's the difference between maybe our kids here and the kids in Europe. A club like Juventus has got these kids already practicing, with paid coaches, the paid staff. They practice pretty well every day. And they're close to the first team, because they train where the first team also trains. But they start making the selection at the competitive level around age 13 and 14. That's when they start getting, kids from other parts of Italy and kids also from Europe and the globe. So basically they have scouts to select the best they could get. And when it starts competitive at age 14, that's when they make the difference, because in high school, they got their own school in the training facility, which is just outside Torino. And some of these kids, like Marchisio, they come from these academies. They went to the youth system, and some of them, not all of them, they make the first team. So it's something, it's a process. And some of them obviously don't make it; they go to the lower divisions. But it's a good process and learning experience for the kids.
We're talking to Kaiman and Mark Antonio, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, and we're talking about the International Youth Soccer Cup, under 17. Final tonight at the Ontario Soccer Centre up on I'll give you an opportunity to give me the complete details before we let you go, Carmina. But are there any under 17 Juventus, of course, to make that kind of a team is a major achievement for a minor soccer player. And I remember watching, if I'm not mistaken, Messi when he was playing in the Barcelona when he was 15 or 16 years old. Are there any players on this Juventus team that perhaps stick out more that you foresee as potential international football players?
Oh, yes, for sure. I see there's three or four already that stand out. And, I mean, Bettega, because he went from being a ball boy with Juventus, he grew up with Juventus, he went to be a ball boy to playing for the first team and eventually for the national team. So that tells you, you know, Marchisio, as I said, is also one of those. And I see two or three that have been with the club already 4 or 5 years. I was talking to these kids, and, you know, there's with they're here, so I don't want their head to swallow.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay, you're actually, you're actually on the team bus right now with all the Juventus under 17 players.
Yes, I've been a bit of, the guy,
yeah.
the one that is basically working with the staff to make, you know, meals arrangements, hotel arrangements. We're heading downtown to Eaton Center because they want to do a bit of shopping.
Okay.
And, tonight, you know, they're going to get ready tonight for the final against TFC, as I said. So it's going to be a tremendous game because I've seen on the two games that were played already, you know, there's some very good talent, both Canadians and in the Juventus team, as you know. They're in the preseason, so this will be their second or third official game because their season only starts, it will start towards the end of August.
Anyways, Carmen, unfortunately, we're running out of time, and I'm going to have to let you go, but I'm going to give you the opportunity once again. For anybody who's interested, and I'm interested, and I know once the word gets out that there may be a lot of people who have an interest in coming to watch the game tonight. So tell our listeners, if they're interested in watching the game, the time and the place.
Okay, I hope to see you and Lou Franceschetti and many more to come and watch at kickoff 8 o'clock at the Oasis Center in Vaughan in Woodbridge, home of the TFC 2, and it will be Juventus against TFC, the under 17. Many, many talents, good entertainment, and the entry is only $20, and it's going for charity, by the way. I want to mention that all the proceeds, once we pay the expenses, it's costing us $100,000 to fly these kids in. But thanks to sponsors, we pay the expenses. Now everything else is going to charity. So thank you so much, Walter, again, and Lou.
Thank you, Carmine, and give our best to the entire Juventus team and thank them for coming to Canada. Appreciate it.
All right. See you later, Walter. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. That's Carmine and Mark Antonio. And Lou, we've got a couple of minutes left. Really, really quickly, I want to go to a topic that's going to become more and more prominent as we get closer to next summer. And we've got a minute and a half, 2 minutes. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Shirelli locked them up long term. There are those that say McDavid left a lot of money on the table. Fair enough. Toronto Maple Leafs and other, especially Toronto Maple Leafs, have three young, budding superstars. How does the McDavid-Draisaitl signings impact what Lamoriello and Shanahan and the rest of them have to do next summer?
Well, I think it's more or less they got to manage their money pretty close to the vest here. It's a situation where Nylander and Marner are going to ask for the money. Then you got to add in some foot soldiers. They still haven't signed Hyman yet. Komarov is coming off the books in a year or so. The other assignment that I...
Bozak.
JVR. JVR. So, you know, you're going to replace a JVR with a Marlowe. I don't know what they're going to do with Bozak. Are you going to fix up the back end to make it a little bit stronger? So, you know, I guess, you know, they've done well up until now. And I was just going to be what are Nylander and Marner going to ask for? And is it going to be over the roof for us?
Not that I'm suggesting, or don't want to jinx anybody, but I think Matthews is Matthews. He's 10, $11 million. Doesn't matter how he plays this year. That's just the bottom line. But if Marner and Nylander take a step backwards in their play, does that impact the management's decision?
It's not. It might impact their decision on whether to deal one of them or not, but it's not going to impact on what the dollars and cents are going to be. They're going to come in anywhere from $7 to $9 million. It might be a little bit lower on a bridge contract, but if they're going to sign an 8-year deal, you're looking at least minimum, probably 7 to 9, maybe even $10 million ahead. Now, can you carry that money? And if you're talking about getting Tavares, can you carry 10 or 4 guys that are making $10 million or more?
That's why the Tavares move to Toronto doesn't make any sense, aside from the Leafs' perspective. But I see Marner and Nylander, as you say, 7 to 9 million, Matthews 10 to 12 million. And that's just the way the NHL is going nowadays. Anyways, we've run out of time. Lou, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Wally. And let's hope that Eddie's wrong about the Red Sox and the high horse that he rode in on. And let's go Yankees. Okay.
To all our listeners, have a fantastic week. We'll be back here again next Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.